Afternoon. Thanks, Mike. So what I'm going to do is a brief update on kind of where we see the year coming out, take you through some key financial metrics, and then we're going to walk through some comparative metrics on kind of where we see ourselves versus the industry, kind of how we perform through the cycle against the industry. And then I'll come back and talk a little bit about portfolio quality, reserves, and then our outlook for 2012. So to start, you know, looking back on 2010 and where we think we're going to finish the year in 2011, we see earnings better than $6 billion. I would say today somewhere between $6.3 and $6.5 billion of earnings for 2011. That's substantially ahead of the $3.2 billion that we did in 2010. Pre-tax earnings, I think, are going to be very strong, better than $7 billion. And that's largely better losses, expanding margins, partially offset by the fact that we continue to shrink the business, so the number of earning assets on the balance sheet continues to go down. E&I, as Mike said, is right on plan. We think we're going to end the year plus or minus $450 billion of E&I. As you saw on Mike's chart, the peak was $600 billion, so we're well on track to take the $160 billion of investment we committed to you 3 years ago out of the business on the schedule we said we would. Loss and impairments, much better year over year, $6.6 billion. Credit costs is part of that $6.6 billion when we think about 2012 are very closely getting to pre-crisis levels. The impairments will still be higher than they were pre-crisis, but credit costs are getting pretty close. Costs we continue to execute on will be down $200 million year over year, and as Mike said, over the course since 2008, we've taken out about $4 billion of structural costs in the business. And this is despite having to add a substantial amount of regulatory resources since the crisis, an investment of upwards of $300 million. So we continue to execute there. Volume, Mike said, was strong. On-book volume at about $175 billion, up 14%. Maybe more importantly, the returns on that volume are still extraordinarily attractive to us. Cost of funds, margins strong again. I think last year, I'll show you in a minute, we talked about kind of 5% margins. These are finance margins and net revenue margins. We exceeded where we ended up last year. We're going to exceed what we thought this year was going to come in at about 5.4%. Cost of funds, about what we expected at 2.6. And then our return on Tier 1 common on a Basel 1 basis is almost double at 13%. And we're still on track here, we think, on a go-forward basis, prospectively, once we get beyond 12, where we're going to see ROEs in the 11 to 15% range. We're going to see returns on Tier 1 common on a Basel 3 basis much higher than that in the high teens or maybe even 20%. So we feel great about that. GE Capital, both on a Basel 1 and Basel 2, 3 basis for Tier 1 common, are going to be very strong this year, north of 11% on a Basel 1 basis, north of 10% on a Basel 3. And Jex is in great shape at better than 9%. I'll come back and talk a little bit more about how we're doing on capital. Think about the segments a little bit in terms of performance for the year. Right now we see the CLL segment at about $2.6 billion of earnings. Volume's been very strong, strongest in the entire portfolio. Credit loss has been much better, and margins and pricing have been holding. Consumer is going to have a great year, $3.6 billion of earnings, largely driven by markets business in the U.S. Consumer business. Her loss rates are already better than pre-crisis, so that business has been performing outstanding. Real estate, we're still going to lose $1 billion this year, but that's $700 million less than we lost in 2010. And we're seeing some valuation improvement in the U.S. We're seeing some improvement in demand, partly driven by interest rates are so low, real estate's becoming enormously attractive again in terms of yield, and that's driving up a bit of demand here in the U.S. Asia is more or less stabilized. Europe is still a little soft, and the crisis going on in Europe is not helping that, but we still see real estate improving both this year and next year. And as Mike said, aviation and energy have been solid. We'll earn $1.6 billion there this year, and they've performed very well through the crisis. So in total, between 6.3 and 6.5 is where we think we'll land the year. If you dial the clock back to this meeting a year ago, in December 2010, you know, we said earnings for 10 would be about 3. We came in a bit better than that. We said we'd be up double digits on earnings in 2011. We're going to be up something closer to triple digits. We talked about liquidity for this year of 40 to 60. We're going to end at somewhere closer to 75 to 80. That seems to be prudent given what's going on in the world, and we're in great shape on liquidity. Kathy will talk more about that. I think maybe most importantly, the progress we've made on our capital ratios is significantly better than what we suggested to people a year ago. And that's a combination of better earnings, obviously, but also getting ahead of the balance sheet faster than what we originally planned. And margins continue to hold in there. We continue to mix up our business. And Bill will take you through a page to kind of show you the margins that we're getting on what we're originating versus the margins that are running off the book. So that's still accretive to us. We feel great about that. So Mike walked you through this page. He did the two easy pieces. I'm going to try to explain the bottom third of this page. Average earning assets. Now, this is a concept. The banks, when they report net interest margins, net revenue margins, they do it on a basis of average earning assets. And I would think about average earning assets as assets that are yield or interest rate driven. So loans, leases, investment securities, et cetera. Somewhat unique to us, we have a big operating lease business as well. And we include operating leases in what we consider financing assets. And then we have a lot of assets, unlike banks, that are not those kinds of assets. The real estate equity book, some of what we do in project financing and GE Energy, et cetera. So our mix of financing assets slash average earning assets is very different than banks. We're about two-thirds financing assets and one-third non-financing assets. Banks tend to be 90-10. And just keep that thought, because on this page, I'm going to try to give you a snapshot on how we look on a net interest margin basis. So this is a question that I get all the time. As you know, our income statement is not constructed like a traditional bank income statement. So what we've done is we've gone back to the third quarter year to date, on an annualized basis and reconstructed our income statement as though we were reporting as a bank. So I'm going to give you a sense of how our net interest margins compared to banks. So if you start on the top there, you've got interest income, so that's obviously interest income we're collecting on our loans and leases. It's investment income on a fairly modest portfolio of securities. And we've included our ALTO receivables or our ALTO income, meaning our operating lease rentals. But we've done it net of depreciation. So depreciation we've got up in interest expense. And you can see that our interest income as a percentage of our average earning assets is about 8.3% in total. The core is a bit better than that at 8.5, and then non-core, the $80 billion that we're still working off, is about 6.6%. And you can see that that compares to an average for the banks. And when the banks here, we're talking about four big money center banks and four big super regionals. We've taken a straight average, it's about 4.6%. And if you drop down to interest expense here, now this is 100% of our interest expense, whether it's financing receivables or it's financing those other assets that we're not including in interest income. This is 100% of our interest expense. And you see we're about 3.8% compared to banks at about 90 basis points. Just two caveats. The first is the bank average and what they report as interest expense does not include any of the branch costs associated with their ability to gather deposits, which is not inconsequential. The second is, you know, we have a very different very different asset mix. We do have longer-dated assets, and that's what you see on the right here. The core book, the average interest expense is about 3.4%. Those assets are between 2 and 4 year average durations. And the non-core, real estate equity, our European mortgage books that are in runoff are very long-dated assets, and we match fund everything we do. So we've been very consistent over the years about wanting to match 10 years or 15-year assets with 10-year or 15-year debt to take the term risk out, interest rate risk out, and we also don't take any foreign exchange risk. So we would expect our interest expense to look a little higher than banks. So that gets you down to net interest margin. In total, at about 4.5%. The core, 60 basis points better than that at 5.1, and that compares quite favorably, 90, 100 basis points higher than the banks. But the biggest opportunity is what you see all the way on the right there. So on the non-core stuff, the stuff Bill's going to walk you through, that we have an opportunity to get our equity out, collect ourselves out of, and reinvest in the company, has got virtually no net interest margin. You know, they are not particularly profitable books. So that's our biggest opportunity going forward from an earnings momentum perspective. Just a quick update here on losses and impairments. If you look back 08, 09, and 10, cumulatively we've incurred about $33 billion. I think that's I may be exaggerating a little bit, but within basis points of what we shared in 09 is our outlook. We've outperformed every stress test that we did then and then subsequently, and we've come in very, very close over that period of time to what we expected we would. In 2011, I mentioned $6.6 billion. 4.3 of that is credit losses, about 2.3 of impairments. Most of the impairments associated with our real estate equity book in 2011. As we look forward to 2012, we expect that it'll improve again year over year, not by the same magnitude, but we're going to get down to credit losses, we think, in 2012 that are going to look very similar to losses that we saw in 2007 pre-crisis. Impairments will still remain a little bit elevated versus pre-crisis, and that's almost entirely associated with real estate equity. So we talk a lot about being senior secured and our loss given defaults being better than unsecured bank portfolios, et cetera. So I thought what we'd do is just kind of walk through some comparative metrics here, and I'll take a few minutes to explain what it is we're measuring. On the left here is peak loss given default. So what we've done is we've gone back from 2007 through 2011, and we've said in what period, what year, did these institutions have their largest net charge-off period, and what were those net charge-offs as a percentage of non-performing assets or non-accruals on financing receivables. And you can see we came out of our biggest year was 2010. We were about a 40% loss given default, and that compares very favorably with most financial institutions. The super regional banks are closer to where we are. Their mix is closer to ours. They're more like 50-50 consumer commercial. The money center banks tend to have much higher loss rates because they're much more skewed to unsecured consumer lending. And then if you look to the right, this may be an even better measure. If you go back and say, what were the charge-offs between the first quarter of 07 through the third quarter of this year, so entirely through the cycle, and you compare those charge-offs to the loan balances that everybody brought into the crisis at the end of 2006, what percentage of those loans did you eventually charge off? And you can see we're about 8.8%. Again, we compare very favorably. And well inside of where some of the larger banks have experienced. Quick update on portfolio quality. I won't grind through all the detail here, but you know we expect most of the portfolios to sequentially improve again in the fourth quarter. Mortgage is reasonably solid. The French and the UK portfolio are doing well. They're doing as we expected or better. You know, still some pressure in Ireland and Spain. They're just incredibly tough markets, but we have very, very small books of business there. And a little bit of pressure in Hungary with what the Hungarians are going through and the downgrades, et cetera, but nothing substantial. Most of the rest of the book is performing pretty well. Real estate, we expect to improve again sequentially in the fourth quarter. I got a question, you know, why aren't we seeing improvement in the delinquency rate in real estate? Well, you got a phenomenon going. If you go back 1 year, in the third quarter of 2010, we had $2.4 billion of delinquent loans in real estate. We finished the third quarter with $1.4 billion. So that's a pretty dramatic improvement. The reason you don't see it in the rate is we're shrinking the business so quickly that when you divide the denominator, the outstanding loans or receivables, into those that are delinquent, it looks like they're staying in place. They're really not. They've improved delinquencies by more than $1 billion. And then CLL, we think it will be about basically flat. I think the U.S. is pretty solid, continues to improve. Asia's stabilized. It's improving. A little bit of softness in Europe, not across all of Europe. Europe's a little soft. Again, not big increases, but we generally think CLL will come in about flat with where they were in the third quarter. And a few other of the key metrics here, non-earnings sequentially should be down. The percentage of non-earnings to our total receivables ought to be down. And the number of loans we have where we're on non-accrual, so we're not recognizing interest income, ought to be down sequentially as well. If you look to the right here on reserve coverage, we ended last year at $8 billion of reserves. Third quarter this year was $6.7 billion. The change between those two numbers, I would attribute it, they're almost equal, one-third each. One is lower assets, so as we continue to run the book down, we need less reserves, and we're provisioning for less loans because we have fewer assets in the books. About a third of it is the improvement in portfolio quality, and about a third are write-offs in excess of our provisions. So pretty balanced on how the reserve has come down. As we think about year end, I don't expect the dollars in our reserve to change dramatically from the third quarter to year end. I think we'll be roughly in the same place, and at about 2.2% reserve coverage. So one of the questions asked, well, you know, how does $6.7 billion of reserves with today's outlook and today's portfolio, you know, how does that compare to where we've been during the crisis? So same set of comparables here, four money center banks, four super regionals. So what we did is we've gone back, and if you look just under the title there, you're taking today's current reserves over our non-performing or non-accrual assets, that coverage, and today for us, that's about 38%. And dividing that by, in the worst year during the crisis, what your peak charge-offs were against non-performing or non-accrual loans at that point in time. And as I showed you two pages back, that was 40% for us. I called it loss given default. So if you divide those two numbers, we've got almost 100% coverage today of the peak charge-off we experienced in 2010 against those non-performing assets. That's a pretty good place to be, and you can see where the rest of the industry kind of shakes out here. So we feel very good about where we are in reserves, and I think we're more than satisfied that we're adequately covered. The last comparable I'd like to do here is Tier 1 Common, but on a Basel III basis. So as Mike alluded to, you know, we don't have all the answers. The rules aren't finalized. The rules aren't written. We haven't gotten final guidance on what requirements are going to be made or what the SIFI requirements are going to be or the designation. But if we just think about where we are today, as of the third quarter, you know, Jack's, we've got 9.2% Tier 1 Common on a Basel III basis. GECC is about a point better than that, 10.4%. And you compare it to where most of the other financial institutions are, that's pretty good. We're not nearly as impacted on Basel III as many of the larger financial institutions are, partly because we don't have a mortgage servicing business, we don't run a broker-dealer, we don't have big investment security portfolio, et cetera. So we are in very good shape on a Basel III basis, and we'll continue to increase those ratios going forward, both here in the fourth quarter and our expectation for 2012. We'll continue to improve on those ratios, even if we're paying an income dividend. So one thought before I close here. So on that NIM page, I showed you that, you know, that non-core piece of our business that we're still working to get out, it really contributes very little from an earnings perspective to the business. It's our biggest opportunity growth-wise. So we can still grow this business pretty substantially, shifting equity and assets out of that non-core piece, that $80 billion, into the core part of the book. Or if the capital allocation planning suggests, or return more money to the company if there's a better deployment at the GE level. But this is a huge opportunity for us. But Bill's going to talk more about it. You know, we've got in excess of $10 billion of capital wrapped up in these red portfolios, in these non-core portfolios that we can still put to work here and drive some momentum. So I'll kind of close with, you know, summarizing where we think 11 is, somewhere between 6.3 and 6.5 for the year. As we look forward to 2012, we think we'll be up double digits year over year. That's with a modest view on what might play out in Europe. We certainly expect there to be a recession in Europe. It doesn't necessarily contemplate Europe completely tipping over, but things are going to be fairly tough in Europe. The one good news for us is we're one of not many institutions in Europe that are open for business and ready to write business if it's at the right price and the right risk profile. Most of the European institutions are retrenching dramatically, both in terms of size and and liquidity, and I think competitively really bodes well for us. If you look to the right here, this is where we think on a Basel III basis, Jackson total is headed for next year. We think we'll add a point to our Basel III numbers next year. We'll end the year at 10% or over 10% versus 2011. The predominance of that accretion will come with earnings in excess of an income dividend that we presume will pay to General Electric next year. We'll get a little bit of a pop from reducing assets, a little less than we've gotten over the last 3 years because we need to get $10 to $15 billion of investment out, and we've been taking bigger whacks at that over the last 3 years. And we're in very good shape versus, you know, the 7% CCAR target. That excludes any kind of SIFI buffer, but I think that we feel really good about the progress we've made on securing the place, both in terms of liquidity and capital. I think we feel like we're ahead of the game here a little bit. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kathy.